your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Tony Gaston, substituting for Dr. Willis Dunbar, who is on vacation.
Well, there are going to be a lot of close shaves in Vicksburg during the coming week, but don't worry, they'll all be in the barbershop. The barbering business in that town is due for record-breaking business now that the annual Frontier Days celebration is completed. The beards, which have been growing for weeks in Vicksburg in preparation for the annual event, will become a thing of the past. The festival was a real success this year. Vicksburg had the atmosphere of a real frontier town. The Vicksburg Commercial reported that the festivities for the weekend got underway Friday evening, with many of the booths open for a local preview of the festival. On Saturday morning, there was a big ceremony for the breaking of the ground for the new hospital addition, which is being made possible by the subscription of more than $55,000 in donations. The huge parade got underway early Saturday afternoon, and thereafter visitors could choose among a large variety of entertainments ranging from a rodeo, or a rodeo, if you wish, to a drawing for a new automobile. Throughout the event, Miss Joan Green, a local girl, presided as queen of the festival. At least 30,000 persons witnessed the event, and although no exact figure on the attendance can be compiled, the festival crowd, in all probability, set a new record for numbers. By the way, this is the fifth year in which the Frontier Days have been held in Vicksburg. The affair had its start in 1945 when the Hospital Guild sponsored the opening celebration. The hospital still figures in the event, for all proceeds go for the benefit of Franklin Memorial Hospital. Last year, over $8,000 was turned over to the hospital building fund after all expenses of the event had been paid. Now, while Vicksburg just is recovering from a big weekend event, the people in Lowell are preparing to start that town's annual summertime celebration, the Lowell Showboat. The Lowell Ledger reports the first performance is scheduled for tomorrow night, with newspaper editors from all over Michigan as the special guests. Incidentally, the name Showboat isn't a nickname. The actual showboat starts from up the river and opens the evening's program by docking in front of the spectators, and the show begins immediately thereafter. The head usher at the Lowell celebration will have his hands full this year. He's hoping that there won't be a repeat of the mistake made last year by a group from Kalamazoo. It seems a delegation of 90 people from our city had reservations for Friday night last season, but made a mistake and arrived along with a capacity crowd on Thursday night. But somehow those extra 90 Kalamazooans were crowded into their seats. The showboat committee is also worried about the weeds which are growing in the Grand River near the scene of the affair. It seems that too many weeds can keep the showboat from rounding the bend. Also, the brand new boat is being used this year, the Robert E. Lee. It's larger than those used on other years. Frank Stevens, who knows all about boats, says that trying to get the larger boat around Cattail Point is like maneuvering the Queen Mary without any tugs. Now, what a catastrophe if it would be if the new Robert E. Lee couldn't live up to its illustrious name and fail to arrive on time. What's Doing in Western Michigan made the headlines in the Niceville News last week. In our newspaper of the air 2 weeks ago, we mentioned the news and told how they run a column titled, Now We've Done It, to inform Niceville citizens of the latest projects being carried out by the city government. The story behind this column is told in the current edition of the news. The village president, Gail Keel, took office last spring, and he announced that he wanted the taxpayers to know where their money was going and what it was being spent for. As a result, every activity of the government is dutifully reported in the news. Even the most minor items are listed. This week's column reports that the city mowed the grass in the parks and it cleaned the filter on a diesel engine. The news doesn't claim any credit for this novel column, giving all the credit to President Keel. At any rate, the news says the taxpayers have no reason to complain. Along the more serious side, the Nashville News revealed an excellent way to take a vacation and yet not miss a publication. During one week in August, when the entire staff takes a week off, the publishers have the paper all printed up in advance. But instead of being a newspaper, it becomes a feature paper for 1 week, with all the articles written and printed in advance. That way, the staff forgets about the work for a week and still follows the usual publication schedule. Now, if we could only do that with radio news, we'd be all set. And speaking of news and news writing, I thought you might be interested in meeting the fellow who gleans through these some 40 newspapers each week and does a considerable amount of work in preparing the highlights and what's doing in Western Michigan. Here's my able assistant, Dick Kishbaugh.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Tony. A few weeks ago, the South Haven Tribune stated that there's no telling what might be reported in South Haven before the end of the summer. This was in connection with local stories about amateur gardeners who would raise the biggest specimens of certain plants. This week, the Tribune had plenty of cause to repeat its statement. The bigger and better growing season is in full swing there. This week, a local resident reported a sunflower which is 9 feet, 8 inches tall. And that's a new record for the current season. The Tribune wants to know if anyone else around town can find a bigger one. Another resident brought in a pepper plant with 2 peppers on 1 stem. And he brought in a brown-eyed Susan, which measures 4 feet tall and has 30 petals, well over twice the average size. Still another correspondent offered an exhibit for the title of the largest walnut tree in the area near South Haven. Well, the contest is still underway for bigger and better flowers, and the Tribune will welcome entrants. The Tribune also carried a note from Allegan about parking meters. Among those who have paid fines for overparking are City Manager Philip Beauvais and Municipal Judge Irvin Andrews. Now that poses a question. If Andrews had taken the matter to court, who would have levied the fine if the judge is the one to be fined? Last week, Dr. Dunbar noticed 2 stories which told of demonstration parties at 2 homes in 3 Rivers. He asked our listeners if they knew what the heck a demonstration party is. Do you have any volunteers to help us out, Tony?
Yes, we certainly did, Dick. One Battle Creek listener said that demonstration parties are held to exhibit kitchenware, and that representatives of manufacturing firms attend and take orders for the products being exhibited. Then another listener, who failed to sign his name, put forth the possibility that a demonstration party was what took place when the housewife demonstrated to her husband that she was still boss of the household, meanwhile relieving him of his paycheck.
How about you, Tony? You have your check with you?
No comment.
Okay. Speaking of money, Charles Kilgore, who is the secretary of the Ionia Chamber of Commerce, decided to look for some Indian head pennies among those turned in by contestants in the Ionia Free Fair Queen Contest. See, votes for a queen cost a penny each. According to the Ionia Sentinel Standard, the last count showed over 9,000 pennies turned in, and not one Indian head penny in the entire lot. Now, Kilgore still has hopes, however, because contest doesn't end until August 9th. We noticed a nice feature in the Athens Times. Each time a new telephone is installed in that town, the Times reports the fact and gives the name and the number. This seems like a service saved the telephone company a lot of work in answering calls about phones that are not in the directory. I don't believe that anyone can accuse Walter Horst of Three Rivers of not being prompt. Horst, who's the superintendent of schools there, gave the Three Rivers commercial a calendar for the 1949-50 school year. He listed every event scheduled from opening day until graduation time. The kids in Three Rivers might take notice. The final exams for next year are included in the schedule. Now back to Tony Gaston.
Well, a lot of cities have post office trucks that look like they were purchased about the time that automobiles were invented. According to the Holland Sentinel, the post office there is holding a celebration because of a new truck, a rarity in any post office. The brand new truck came in exchange for a 1930 model, which had gone close to 200,000 miles. The Sentinel stated that the new truck was really something. The doors work and so does the heater, And what's more, the floor, there are no holes in it. The driver doesn't have to put his foot through it. The Grand Haven Tribune reported another rarity. Property owners who got some free pavement in front of their houses. The block of property owners discovered blacktopping on their street one day last week, and the city admitted that it had made a mistake and gone one block too far, and the city agreed to foot the bill. Louis Rogers of Allegan decided last week that he'd go for a bike ride just for the exercise. The Allegan Gazette reported that Rogers was going to get plenty of exercise, too. He's headed for Oak Ridge, Tennessee, a distance of 600 miles. His wife is also going to Oak Ridge, but she isn't the exercise-minded type. She's going to take the train. Mrs. Harry Schultz of Water Vallette is the new member of the school board in that town, but only by the narrowest of margins. Mrs. Schultz ran a photo finish race with another candidate in the Water Vallette school election. The race ended in a tie, and in a drawing to break the tie, Mrs. Schultz was the winner. The Water Vallette record stated that her opponent drew the low number, which carried nothing with it but the right to walk out of the front door, a free man. Other news notes from our section of the state. 3,000 persons witnessed a tragic crash in Three Rivers in which a parachutist and an amateur photographer met death. The parachute became entangled in an airplane and the plane crashed. The pilot escaped, but his passenger, the photographer, was killed. The parachutist was dragged to death by the tangled chute lines. The witnesses were spectators at the Three Rivers Air Show a week ago. The Three Rivers commercial said that this was the first air fatality in Three Rivers history. The school board in Galesburg has called a special election to be held on August 8th. The exact business hasn't been announced, but the business will probably concern bonding and millage issues. The Galesburg Argus said that the crowded conditions in the lower grades at Galesburg are the prime factor for the action by the board. The Allegan Gazette carried two stories this week which vividly point out the difference between the financial situations of Allegan City and Allegan County. One story headlines the fact that the county has been forced to stop spending money and that county employees might not be paid because of a lack of funds. The other story mentions the fact that Allegan City Council is happy to report that the city finished its fiscal year with large cash surpluses in almost every fund. Financially, the city has little to worry about at the present time. In the county, however, it's a different story. No solution is in sight for the county's difficulties, and so far no means have been found to pay the county employees. And now here's your announcer with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan, heard each Sunday afternoon at 1:45. Listen again next week for your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.